Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, let's go back to the phones for a moment before we get to Ben Charrington yesterday, the guy who put together the great rosters that Shelty mismanaged, I guess.
Yes.
And then we get to Ray Fittipaldi. We turn to football, top of the hour. Who's next
here? Here is George in Edgewood.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, guys. I want to make two quick points. One, I used to give Derek Shelton a little bit of a pass because I didn't know if it was him or his hitting coach or his pitching coach who were making these awful, awful decisions. But I think both of those guys need to go along with him. And I'll mention the second point is these kids get to the major leagues because they are hitting well. And then they come up here where every pitcher in the league wants to throw a first pitch strike. And Shelton is telling them to work for a walk. Really? I mean, all the pitchers in the league.
Is he? I don't know that he's doing that or was doing that. I don't know that.
It actually came out last year at some point, and I watched one period of time when they went through a successful stretch where they started to go after the first pitch, and then all of a sudden it didn't seem to be happening again.
What if they're just not very good? What if they could go after the first pitch, the second pitch, the last pitch, and every other pitch, but they just can't hit?
Well, always a possibility, but they got here by hitting.
Right.
They got here by hitting, and I know the pitching is a little better up here, but I really didn't like the fact that at one point last year they were definitely taking the first pitch trying to work for a walk.
Well,
he talks about the opposing pitcher's pitch count, getting the pitch count up. Come on, the best pitch you're going to see is the first one.
I know. We could quibble about details here. Let me ask you a question. Does this fix anything? Does putting Don Kelly in charge fix anything?
Well, I assume that's temporary. And if he gets lucky and it does change the clubhouse temperament, you know, a lot of these guys got to be frustrated with Shelton and the bad decisions, a lot of them involving Bednar and Holderman, where I was like, what the hell were you thinking? And the other thing that he often did, and I know a lot of managers do this, you know, a guy pitches a 1-2-3 relief inning in the sixth or the seventh. You take him out? Really? You're going to go for the mystery in the bullpen instead of the guy who just shut them down?
I appreciate the call. My wife complains about that. I mean, I do try to explain that you want to preserve your bullpen. You can't just be throwing. But on a given night, I agree. There were too many games that Shelty should have managed, like game seven.
Yes.
And he was constantly saving people for an event or a big game or a series of them that were never going to exist.
Well, and it seems like he always trusted the numbers too much, or he trusted guys that were not showing him good enough results where he was like, oh, well, they were really good for me a year ago, a la Colin Holderman in that game against LA, where you throw him in fresh off the IL in the eighth inning and exactly what you expected to happen happens.
Can we hear Shelty's back and forth with the Noah Constrictor again about Bednar pitching last year?
That is one of my absolute favorites.
Bednar appeared in three games in like 2 weeks, which was a massive embarrassment and therefore an absolutely appropriate question. Of course, he had a better ERA than Bednar, And that's not a joke. He did in those appearances. But this was one of the rare times, I must say, that Shelty showed at least signs of snapping. And ironically enough, he was snapping at a boa constrictor.
This is when Rowdy came in to pitch.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. No, you don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
Low key,
11 to nothing.
Low key, the biggest moment of that was the Noah Constrictor saying, okay.
Okay.
Can we hear it one more time? And I want people to focus on the Noah Constrictor with a very, very small okay. And this was a great question. And he's a bulldog. Well, he's a snake, actually. He's a Noah Constrictor.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
I love that.
Okay.
Do we have any other classic Shelties or ridiculous Charringtons from yesterday?
Oh, we have a bunch in
Fire
here.
Fire off a few. Let's have a laugh. There's the only way to sort of diffuse blind rage or enliven emptiness is with humor. Sometimes dark humor limits. Please deliver me a couple lines.
Do you remember this one?
You know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting the date out there.
That one was good, but maybe not as good as this one.
I think if you ask Rabs, I mean, inadvertent send, I mean, he would take that one back.
Inadvertent send for Tommy Pham.
No, that was Mike Rebelgo. The inadvertent send where his arm just started uncontrollably waving in a windmill. He couldn't help it.
How about this one from earlier this year?
Giving Cruz a day off, getting him off his feet, and deciding to keep Cruz in the lineup because he's been swinging the bat probably as well as anybody except for Valdez.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you get him off his
feet. Valdez. So that was Cruz leading the league in steals at the age of 26, who needed to get off his feet on a Saturday and DH and then not play at all on Sunday.
Not at all.
A 26-year-old guy. And again, that goes back to, and I'm still stunned.
Plus an off day on Monday.
If I'm Shelty, I have to know my job's in jeopardy right when you started 1-5 this year. And I don't care what anybody says at that point. I'm going down with the ship. Well, the Exxon Valdez, you might say. I'm going down with the ship, and I'm treating every game like Game 7. And if that means throwing Skeens for 130 pitches, I'm doing that. If that means playing O'Neill Cruz every single day,
giving Cruz a day off,
every single
getting him off his feet bat. And deciding to keep Cruz in the lineup,
then I'm doing that. I mean, it's remarkable the way this team was managed given the precarious job security of the manager.
It was managed by a computer.
Tell me more about Radley Haddad, because I did. I got a couple texts today.
Yeah.
One of them went like this: Radley Haddad and his binder have fittingly been punted into the sun, which is actually poetic, is it not?
He was there.
That sounds like the beginning of some sort of exotic ancient tale.
Oh, like a Shakespeare novel or something.
Radley Haddad. Radley Haddad and his binder have been fittingly punted into the sun. He was the game. I expect a rhyme next. He was the game planning coach that tried shoving, quote, scripts down the throat of a baseball game to manage it.
Was he writing a TV show? I know they're on TV. Did he think that this was a series that was airing on CBS?
It must have. Like I said, it read every night like the script to The Exorcist or some other horrible thing.
He was their game planning and strategy coach for the past three seasons.
Think about how utterly ridiculous. Can you imagine if somebody said to Jim Leland or Chuck Tanner, Jim, yeah, we've hired this guy to be what again? A game planning and strategy coach?
Game planning and strategy, yes.
That's called a manager. Now, I understand the manager wants, you know, an assistant, like a baseball guy, to consult with as he's making decisions sometimes. He doesn't need somebody coming in who is hired on his job description telling him what to do. And that's the feeling that I got with this guy, even though I didn't know who he was till 10 minutes ago when I got these texts.
Well, it just seems like if this guy had so much influence as it was, like, was he in the dugout next to Shelton making calls? Was he calling on the bullpen phone to Riley Haddad to try to make sure, hey, Riley, what do you think of this move? I was thinking about putting Bednar in, but Shelty, what do you think?
Shelty, it's Radley. We got to get Cruz off his feet today, the analytics tell me. Also, Canario, we definitely want batting fifth.
Also, Adam Frazier, yes, we really think he could be back to his 2018 form.
Yeah. Ben, this is Radley on the line. I think we can get one hell of a bargain with Tommy Pham this offseason. The numbers way under the surface, like way down, like down, but what do you call the lowest form of rock way down there? Limits. Do you have any rock knowledge?
I can like picture it in my mind, like the core of the earth.
The core of the earth down at the very core of Mount St. Helens.
By the molten lava.
Yeah, you'll find Tommy Pham stats that tell us we should invest money in this guy, even though every counting stat, every historical baseball stat tells you that he sucked
last year.
38, we'll go ahead and sign him and throw him in left field. And when he's not making obscene gestures to fans, he's hitting 183 with, let me count them again like I did yesterday. 0 home runs.
And if you look a little bit to your right, Derek, you will see Jack Sawinski. Yes, the underlying stats will be able to tell you that, sure, he might be striking out almost half the time he goes
up there, but
he'll figure it out.
Derek, this is Radley. Yeah, Ben, Radley on the line again. Listen, you guys should really, really try to see if Jack Sawinski can play in the major leagues this season. I'm telling you, the underlying stats tell me he can. What's that? He strikes out every plate appearance? That's okay. His swings are good. Give him another shot. I think he can still play. And you should hear about this guy, Emmanuel Valdez. He should be your cleanup hitter.
We should be like Moneyball. Hey, Billy, I have this catcher. His name is Henry Davis. The only downside is we drafted him to hit, and we knew he couldn't catch, and now he can catch, but he can't hit.
But his defensive runs saved make up for that. He's now an average major league defensive catcher, and that's worth the number one overall pick. Have I told you about this? Forget it. Forget it. Who's next?
Here is Emmanuel in Carnegie.
Emmanuel Valdez is on the
line. That's right. The Exxon Valdez calling in.
That's where Hannes Wagner was from, Carnegie, right, sir?
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for taking my call. You know, y'all already echoed everything I wanted to say for the last 2 days. Now, was it true that Bob Nutted said something in the light of, like, he believed that he exhausted everything he could to make this roster better?
Yes, he did. He's done everything he can.
And now you got Sheridan being the spokesperson for firing Shelton. So
it
all roots down to there's a lack of accountability from top to bottom. That's what it roots down to. And it just makes me sick because there's no hope. I mean, you already said everything I wanted to say the last 2 days. I'm just hopeless. I'm looking forward to football season. And now I'm just rooting for a soccer team, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. I don't even watch baseball no more.
There you go. Big season for the Riverhounds. If only I knew when it started or
ended. No, it is started. They beat this MLS team from New York the other day. It was a big win for the Riverhounds.
I've been meaning to get to a game down there. It looks awesome from the outside.
Bob might be able to get you VIP tickets. He's good friends with people at the Riverhounds, I think.
Hello, Derek. Yeah, this is Radley. I know you're probably not thinking about Jiwon Bae to open the season, but believe me, I've uncovered some stats that tell you it's a hell of a great idea. Yeah, why don't you have him on your opening day roster?
Stats are down there with the bedrock and the mantle, according to the texters.
Hello,
the bedrock.
Yes, the bedrock. Right out of the Flintstones.
Yep.
Hello, Ben.
You can listen to the Crocodile Rock while you're down there in the bedrock trying to find the underlying stats.
Hello, Ben. Yeah, Radley again. I know the trade deadline is tomorrow, and there's this guy in Miami, Brian De La Cruz. Right, yeah, he strikes out every time, I know. Can't play baseball. A lot of people think that. I think he can. There's a lot of underlying stats that tell me Brian De La Cruz is the guy to get at the deadline. Put him in the cleanup spot. You'll thank me later. Remember that move, Limits? That in and of itself was a fireable offense for Ben Cherington. He thought that guy was their cleanup hitter for the future, and they wound up cutting him. They cut him 2 months later.
the inexplicable damage that Ben Cherington has put on this roster with what I would also say is the Luis Ortiz trade, where you get Spencer Horwitz, who's had a horrible start to his career with the Pirates in the minors and hasn't even been on the majors yet. Plus, all these other trades have set this organization back how many years? And I saw something, we'll be able to play the clip in a little bit. Noah Hyles was on with the morning show, and he said that he think Ben Cherington will be here next year? What the hell are we doing?
I don't.
I don't either.
And the fact that he's going to get to run the draft again is borderline miraculous. Although I suppose in some ways not surprising. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. We were talking about one Cherington quote from before the show. I don't remember what it was.
Well, Joe, you might have to squint a little bit to be able to see it or hear it.
Let's hear it.
I don't think you have to squint too hard to see a stronger team on the field in 2025. I believe we have the players in the organization that will help us do that.
What?
That is the exact thing that I tweeted.
That was AI.
Well, I mean,
that was really him.
To be fair to Ben, if he thinks he has a team that's better than 12-26, I hope he's right.
You don't have to squint too hard to see a better team. I can't see a better team if I use the Hubble telescope.
or a magnifying glass. What better team is he looking at? 15-23?
Wow. That's the thing, is so much of what comes out from over there is so insulting to people's intelligence.
There's no self-awareness. It's just trying to
but
sell
at least
people.
At least he called Shelty curious yesterday. That's how I'll always remember him. What a curious guy.
He was a very curious manager, yes.
Curious George. what are we doing here?
Let me first start saying again thank you to Shelty.
All right,
let's turn
to the Pirate or the Steelers. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Ray Fittipaldo next. He's at Rookie Mini Camp.
Yeah,
let's talk to him about that, about Aaron Rodgers, and when or if that's going to happen. Ray Fittipaldo next. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge, the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to see if a guy's hitting that over consistently? Well, keep an eye on the Warriors. They're going to hit the under consistently. That was a disaster without Steph Curry last night. Once the game starts, things get interesting. You can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel official.